It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it is another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Mark.
Good to see you once again.
Good to be here.
Hey, this week you're launching into the subject of steps for making change. Now, this isn't for people who are in the cashier business, is it?
Well, actually, this could be for lots of... this is a model that applies to a lot of people. But not that kind of change.
I was just being a smart aleck today. I need to make some changes myself. Well, you are not just a counselor, but you're also a life coach. And I would think that this subject has a lot to do with that part of what you do.
Right, it does. And, of course, counseling and coaching kind of blend together, don't they, a little bit. But, yeah, this is one of the themes that I that comes up a lot in counseling. Could be married couples that want to make change in their marriage. It could be, young people retiring that change is coming, and people that want to grow more spiritually, making life changes, making spiritual changes, making changes in vocation, business vocation, family changes. So it's a model that is applicable in a lot of different ways. And basically, it's the idea of, there are five steps to the model, and I'll just read them off, and then we can go through each one of them in some detail. So first of all, in order to make change, I have to, of course, have some kind of an objective, something that I'm, aiming toward. It's like heading out for a vacation. Mm-hmm. You need to know your vacation spot in order to...
Yeah, we're trying to. Canada's opened back up now after the COVID lockdowns, and
we want
to finally go up and visit Banff. I think. Have you ever been to Banff?
Oh, I've been through Banff a number of times.
Never been there, but I guess it's quite a destination. Yeah. But I got to plan that.
Yeah, I went to school up in Lacombe, Alberta, for about a year. They had a year long school up there, ministry school, and I was back and forth through Banff probably three or four times, once by train.
Wow, yeah, that'd be a beautiful trip.
So you have to have an objective, a destination. Then secondly, we ask, do I have to change my my course, my direction, my behavior, my methodology in order to reach that goal, or am I on track to reach that goal? You know, a lot of programs where growing businesses or growing financial security, you revisit these things over and over and you ask yourself, are we still on track or do we have to make alterations? So what's my objective? What's my goal? Do I have to make change? That's actually a part A and part B, which I'll get into a little later. Then the third question we ask is, what do I have to change? And so you can see that each one of these steps is somewhat of a goal in and of itself, but what we're doing is narrowing the focus down, because we have to narrow the focus down to the idea of what can I actually do, which is the next question I ask myself, is beyond what shall I change, how will I measure my change? And then finally, the fifth step in change is how do I remember the first four steps?
Okay.
And of course, that involves some kind of a mission statement. So I have a mission statement. Mission statements can be different kinds of methods to remind me of this is my objective. Yes, I must change. This is what I'm changing, and this is how I'm measuring my change. And of course, the way I measure my change, That can alter too. I might work on one aspect of the business or the personality or the relationship or the vocational pursuit or the financial growth pursuit. I might focus on one aspect at one time, but then I need to shore up another aspect of it. So there's another way that I'm going to measure my change. The mission statement would have all of those. And the mission statement doesn't have to be verbal. Because sometimes if people are trying to change an addiction behavior, they're going to make a mission statement. But what if somebody finds your mission statement? Made it. What if you've got your mission statement on your screensaver or on your telephone? Or as I do, I make a bookmarker mission statement because I like to read a lot, and so particularly the book that I will be reading while I'm, you know, just to get off to sleep. And there'll be the bookmarker in there with the mission statement. And right now I have a mission statement that is just an arrow pointing north and some cryptic notes at the bottom of it. Now, if somebody finds that, I'm not going to be embarrassed if they interpret that in some way. You know, if somebody, for example, if someone is trying to change a habit that they don't want people to know about or it might embarrass them. The mission statement can be cryptic. It can be private. It wouldn't mean anything to somebody.
A personal mission statement. I always think of mission statements having to do with companies and businesses, but you're saying a personal mission statement.
Yeah. Again, this model is applicable to all those different, you know, whether they be business, organization, vocational, personal, habits that a person wants to change, relational changes. So they're applicable all across there. You know, when I was just in school getting into psychology classes, the instructors that I had could see, and one even wrote a recommendation for me that even after just taking a few early classes, that I had an understanding of the psychology enough that I was already beginning to develop my own methods and my own views. I now have a model we've talked about on the radio before of value, control, and power, the pursuit of value, control, and power. The precursor of that was a model that I came up with, F minus P equals N, future minus present equals need. Because I could see that people are pursuing needs in life, and this is before I was familiar with the Maslow's hierarchy or rational emotive or cognitive dissonance or gestalt or any of those things. I later, as I was studying more, I realized that other people had been down this path that I was going down, and they had already developed these models. But the FPN, the future minus present equals needs, It's very much in line with this idea of people have a sense of a need to change something, or maybe more than a sense. Maybe they get professional advice, or maybe they have enough understanding about business organization or financial growth or personality or relationship growth that they get a pretty good idea of where they need to go. And so this idea of that's my future, that's my goal, that's my objective, excuse me. And this is kind of where I am now, and so what do I need to get to that perspective? So narrowing that focus down, and a lot of times when I'm talking with people, the idea of an objective, say for example, and there's one particular person that I'm working with this person is representative of a lot of people that I see who are trying to make some change in their personal life. And so we start off with maybe just a sense of unrest. I'm just not satisfied in my life, and it could have to do with my vocation or something. I'm just not satisfied. So there's almost like, I would label it almost like a dream. So this, you know, I'm dissatisfied in my life, but I sort of have an image of what I would like life to be. And maybe that's something I saw in a movie or read in a book, or maybe there's someone that I idolize or someone that I look up to, and they have the life that I would like to have. So it's just kind of a dream. And so the thing is though, that you can't achieve a dream. Dreams are just free floating. They're, just in your imagination. You have to convert the dream into a goal, and that's what part of this model does. It takes, you know, you identify the dream or you identify the objective, and then you begin to narrow the focus down to where you have the steps that you can take immediately. Mm-hmm. So again, we have those five steps. What is my objective or what is my goal? Do I have to change to reach that goal? What change do I have to make, and how do I measure the change? And then a mission statement. Mm. So the objective, if we start to discuss these, each five of these in a little more detail, the objective, as I say, can be somewhat vague in the beginning. If I were to ask maybe a married couple, they want to make change in their life because they've come in for counseling because there's a lot of dysfunction in their relationship, and they realize that if they keep going in the direction that they're going, they're going to wind up just increasing the distance in the relationship and maybe eventually divorce. Or I'm talking to a young person who is getting started in life out of high school, into college, or maybe out of college and feeling a little bit lost. And they realize that if they continue to live like this, they're going to run out of time and run out of resources. So I'm talking to this married couple, say, for example, and they realize the problem. So I would first ask them, well, what do you want your relationship to be like? What would you prefer? Do you have some kind of an image or a picture? Can you envision your relationship being different? Yes, they say, we can. Well, describe that. Because if you can't describe the destination, at least in some detail, you have little chance of getting there. So we need to first describe the destination, and the more exacting we can get. Mm-hmm. But the objective is typically a thing that's more vague. So they say, you know, we want more honesty in our relationship.
Yeah, what does that look like?
So yeah, what is it? So the next step would be, well, what are you going to change to reach that area of honesty, are we headed in the direction of more honesty? And let's say that they say, I think if we continue the way we are, we're not going to reach an area of more honesty. Then there would be the second question to ask, do we have to change? And so they say, that's kind of a part A, part B, as I described before. Part of the question is, if we continue on the track that we're on, and I like to use the kind of like a sailing metaphor, if we're sailing toward, let's say, a destination island, and we've got a lot of islands up here in the Puget Sound, so we would just pick one. I'm going to go for a picnic on Lopez Island or something. And so, you know, are we on the right tack? Are we heading in the right direction? If we continue our course, will we arrive there? Mm. And so that's part A. Part B would be, what is the cost of not reaching Lopez Island? What if we settle for second best? What if we settle for something else? So it's part A is, will we reach our destination on our current tack? And part B is, what is the cost of not reaching it? So that's all in part of that second question of, you know, do we really have to change? Is second best good enough? Is a compromise good enough? Or do we really have to change to meet that objective? So those would be the first two. Then we'd move on to the second, which we can hit after the break.
We can do that after the break. If you're going through some things in your life right now, maritally or as an individual, and you would like some counseling help, some coaching from Daniel, how do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yes, the phone number is 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. So email me through the website BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you're going to find these radio shows and podcast. Also, offices Kirkland and Edmonds, and also by Zoom for people who have found that to be convenient and time-saving. Those are all available.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Daniel is bringing us through the steps for making change. And he has listed several things here, including the objective. What is that? And moving on to a few more of these here.
Right. So let's use the example, one that I have in my mind here, of a typical thing that, say, for example, a married couple might say we want to build our relationship, and so it comes down to, they say, you know, do we have to change? Yes, we have to change. And then the third question we're working on is, what are we going to change? And let's say they say, we're going to change the way we communicate. So so first of all, we want to enrich our relationship. Do we have to change? What will be the cost of not changing? And let me go back to that one just briefly. The cost is so important, because you never change a behavior unless that behavior is costing you more than you're willing to pay. Or I don't move on to a behavior unless that behavior has enough benefit to warrant that. And you're looking at, I'm talking about a positive behavior has benefits, but then not pursuing that positive behavior then certainly has a cost. Those are different sides of the same coin. So we ask ourselves, what is the cost of avoiding to change this behavior? What is the cost of avoiding this change? That cost can be, I was once talking to a man who was trying to change a gambling addiction, and I said, well, what is the cost? Why would you want to change? Why would you want to stop gambling? There has to be a reason. There has to be a cost. And he's saying, well, you know, it's just like about, you know, $2,000 a week. And so I thought, well, that's not the total cost, because obviously you know that it's costing you $2,000 a week, and yet this has gone on for years. So that's not enough cost. What's it actually costing you? And he was a little bit stumped. And then we started to review some of the things that he had reported. You know, you've lost your wife, you've lost your kids, you've lost your house. You know, the cost is great. And so when you start considering the cost, what is the cost of not making this change? You know, is this costing my relationship with God? Is it costing me, you know, confidence in prayer? Is it costing me confidence in fellowship? Is it cost, you know, all the areas of my life that it's costing me? So I need to come up with a cost for that behavior that I'm not willing to pay. And that's really fundamental to making the change. Then what will I change? And so let's say this couple says, we're going to change the way we communicate, okay? Then the next one, the number four, is how will I measure the change? How are we going to measure the change in the communication? And so one of the things I teach people are the communication tools, very simple tools. Hey, you could come up with your own communication tools. These are just five simple ones. The words I use, my tone of voice, my body posture, my facial expression, and timing. Is this the right timing? So they would say, well, we're going to work on our tone of voice, or we're going to work on the words we use, or maybe we're going to work on a couple of those. So these would be the way that we measure the change. The only thing that's left then is a mission statement. And this would be, we are going to enrich our relationship. Yes, we can't afford not to enrich our relationship. We can't afford not to, because the alternative is going to be disastrous for us, for our children, for, you know, the body of Christ, et cetera, et cetera. And so what are we going to change? We're going to change our communication. And how are we going to measure that? Well, we're going to work on our tone of voice and our vocabulary, or something like that. Mm. And the sort of mission statement would be such that it can be sign language or anything that represents to you those other four. And then I would use that as a bookmarker myself, as I mentioned before, drop some cryptic thing that every time I open the book and I see that bookmarker, it reminds me, this is my goal. This, I must make that change, because the cost is too great not to. This is what I'm changing, and this is what I'm measuring. This is how I'm measuring my change. So a couple can do that, and a married couple can do that. Mm-hmm. You can use that, again, as I say, for business, organization, vocational choices, personal choices, family choices. Let me close here, wrap up the show with some examples. So I have let's say the couple says, we want to have a more positive marriage. That's a pretty big goal. That's a big objective. Do you need to do that? Do you have to make the change? What's the cost of not having a more positive relationship, marriage? Because if the cost isn't high enough, you probably won't make the change. So they determine, yes, we're not headed in a good direction. We need to make some change. What are you going to change? Well, we want more love. And they say, we want more love. Okay, that's narrowing it down a bit, but we need something. We need to narrow it down still further. So, how are you going to measure measure that change? How are you going to measure that love? So, something that comes immediately to mind for me is Corinthians 13. So I look at that. Well, patience, kindness, not self-interest, but interest in the other person, not thinking evil of the other person, not being provoked by the other person, bearing all things, believing. You know, I have a lot of trouble with couples who don't believe they can change. Mm. They don't believe the other person can change. Love believes all things, hopes all things. Mm. You know, they have hope. They don't. So much of their communication, say, for example, of couples, you know, I can watch couples communicating things and they can be saying the right words, but you know, one person can be saying to the other person, okay, I really do love you, and the other person's rolling his or her eyes, which, you know, is this, you know, there's no hope. So you have to believe all things. You have to hope all things. So you could pick a couple of those, couldn't you? You could say, you know what, I'm going to work on kindness. Mm. I was talking to a couple the other day that are trying to build their marriage up, and what kinds of things can you do? Kind of liken this to like a lot of married couples where their relationship has become like a minefield. And if you can imagine, this minefield has many mines, and the mines are growing. They're getting larger to the place where they start to interconnect, and there's no path between the mines to walk on. So How do we shrink those mines and enlarge the paths between the mines so that we actually have a relationship and we're not always stepping on these triggers? Mm-hmm. Well, you have to take advantage of times and moments to just say, hey, I appreciate you. So you're sitting there reading a book, you know, she's reading a book, he's reading a book, or you're watching a TV show and there's an advertisement, and you kind of mute it and you look over to the other person and you say, I appreciate you. Just, you know, using those moments mm-hmm. to increase those mm-hmm. things. So, mm-hmm. so words of kindness. So that would be one example of you know, just one. There can be many, obviously, variations on that theme. Another example would be, say, a personal life, and so the person says, "You know, I want to be more Christ-like." Okay, and that's a great goal, but it's pretty vague. So we answer the question first of all, why? You know, well, because the cost of not being Christ-like is too great, and it's worth going into that for myself and saying, what do you mean the cost of not being Christ-like? What is that going to cost you? Salvation? Okay, but that's kind of out there a ways. You don't have to worry about that today. But what are some things that it's costing you right now not being Christ-like? Well, you know, I'm always grumpy. I'm always on edge. I got a lot of anxiety. My relationships aren't going too well. My job's not. You know, the cost is actually quite great not being Christ-like. My life just isn't working it's just not functioning very highly. So, okay, so you want to be more Christ-like. What are you going to change? Well, I think I want to be more pure. Okay, there we're narrowing it down. How are you going to change that? What specifically? I think I want to take my thoughts captive. Mm. Okay, there we're narrowing it down again. How are you going to demonstrate that? And so something that comes to mind for me is Philippians 4, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, of good report. I'm going to single a couple of these out. First of all, good report. With all the bad news on, and I talk to couples a lot of times where there's so much negativity, and when they sit down to talk, the negativity comes out instead of focusing on things that are of good report. There's a lot of good news out there, too, a lot of wonderful things happening in the body of Christ. The kingdom of God is growing and moving on. Mm. What about just? What does it mean that things are just? Well, things that are just are, I think of the plumb line for builders. You know, there's that plumb line that tells you if the windows and the door jams are just. That is, are they straight up and down? Are they precise? And I was thinking about this morning, and I remember the Just So stories. Remember the Just So stories mm-hmm. by Rupert Kipling? He was telling stories to his daughter, Effie, and she wanted him to tell those stories in words that she understood. And so she was quite young, and so he wrote these stories, the Just So stories, about animal behaviors, but he had to use terms that she already knew, so they had to be precise, and they had to be, and so, you know, whatsoever things are just. But that's, you know, in ways of demonstrating how to take our thoughts captive. So one final, so this guy says, there's no meaning in my life, okay? And I have to change, you know, but the cost is too great. Okay, so what are you going to change? Well, I think I need more input from other people. All right, how are you going to? That's what you need. What are you going to change? I'm going to explore, or I'm going to broaden my social connections. Okay, then how are you going to measure that? What's going to be the thing that you actually do? And so you might say, okay, I'm going to join a Bible study group, or I'm going to join a book study group, or I'm going to join a hobby group. So this is the thing that I'm actually going to do. So again, those steps were, what's my objective? Must I change? Or what's the cost of not changing? What am I going to change? How am I going to measure the change? And then finally, the mission statement. You know, the cryptic note or the little sketch or whatever you want to do, used as a screensaver, bookmarker, you know, put it on your refrigerator, put it on your dashboard, because the more times you see your mission statement, the more apt and the more quickly you're going to make those important changes.
Okay, steps for making change this week on the Sound Mind broadcast. If you're intrigued, you'd like to have Daniel help you with some area of your life, how do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Also, emailing through the website works, BibleBasedCounselor.com. I have Kirkland and Edmonds offices, also doing quite a lot of Zoom because with the traffic we have around here and some people are in the outlying areas, it's just more convenient and you have an option of all days of the week instead of just the couple in this office or the couple in that office.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.